Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? I am your host, Russ, and I've got some maladies. And I think Kent also has these maladies.
It's called alopecia.
That's your real malady. I'm trying to set us into this whole thing we're going for, and we need to ask a doctor. Fortunately, we do have a doctor with us, Dr. Carey. So today, we're doing something very special in Are You Not Entertained? Of course, as you know, this is a wrestling podcast. If you're listening to it for anything else, you're an idiot, because this is a wrestling podcast.
Way to insult our stupid audience.
Well, you know what? If they don't know us by now, then frankly, they shouldn't be listening to us anyway. So it works on all levels. So today is a very special episode of Are You Not Entertained? And no, it's not the one where we bring drugs into the school or anything. No, this is a very special one because we have Dr. Carey with us. Dr. Carey, how are you doing?
I am doing very well, and I'm just really excited to get the healing going because I know after this past weekend's pay-per-view, I'm sure you guys need my advice.
That's absolutely true. Kat, how are you doing? Because I didn't ask you either.
My soul is tormented. Henceforth, we needed this session.
We did.
I've been crying myself to sleep, and I wake up with a wet pillow, and I'm never sure what it's from. I'm assuming it's tears. It's awful.
Yeah, it could be a lot of things. Sweat.
We'll see if we can fix
meat
some
sweats,
of that.
You know.
The meat sweats.
So, this week, okay. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, it seems like everything the WWE has been building up in the past 5 to 7, well, I'll even go 9 to 10 months, has been totally and utterly trashed by this weekend. And we're distraught. So, we're going to ask Carey some of these pressing questions tonight, and we want Dr. Carey to answer these questions for us. Kent, would you do us the honors? Oh, by the way, this is episode 34, March 8th, all that other fancy jazz that I completely forgot to mention. And this is actually episode 35. So good job, Russ. You're doing your hosting jobs so well.
You're no worse than I am when I host it with Steve. I mean, in all fairness, like, come the end, I'm like, I just stumbled over every last thing I could possibly say at the end. So,
well, yeah. You know what the worst part is? We discussed this always right before the show, and I still knew it was episode 35, and I still said episode 34. Just because I was like, I freaked out for a second, I forgot to mention it, so I said it. All right. Let's get this show on the road. Kent, go ahead, ask Dr. Carey some questions.
Dr. Carey, I like SmackDown as much as anybody, but I don't understand why we can't have a decent tag team division. I miss tag team wrestling. Please tell me that it'll be okay. Please?
Kent, it will be okay. I'm sure creative is just really coming up with a great, great storyline that's just going to blow all of our socks off. When that storyline's coming, I have no idea. Or who it's going to involve. Probably the Usos. Probably American Alpha, because that's where we're headed, but it will be okay. I promise. Russ, how are you feeling about this? Do I need to reassure you about anything on this?
Well, call me crazy, but I honestly didn't know that SmackDown had a tag division because it seems like it's been weeks since I've even heard of a tag team on there. Oh, wait, no, there was a tag team. It was John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Carmella and the Chinless Wonder. They do have a tag team. I forgot about that.
Well, Russ, if you think about it, you have to look hard for a good tag team.
Well, that's great, but I'm worried that if we look hard, they're going to get buried. Because it's SmackDown, and SmackDown is not very confident in the tag team. But, Carey, tell me this about the tag teams. Are we going to get a SmackDown Tag Team Championship match?
I feel that we should. I mean, that's what the fans want, and they should give the fans what they want. Oh, wait. Never mind. No. I assure you, we're going to see a tag team championship match for SmackDown at WrestleMania. I promise you.
I was going to say, as a doctor, you're supposed to make me feel better, and that did not make me feel that. Did not fill me with confidence.
No, I felt way worse after that first.
So, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me because they even bring it up, don't they? On SmackDown or a Talking Smack, at least maybe not this week, but last week.
Last week, American Alpha was on there.
Yeah, and they brought it up like, oh, we're not getting disrespected. And then this week, I don't think there was a single mention of tag teams, period.
Mojo Rawley's in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Okay, he was, yep. Okay.
That's as close as we got. That was as close as we got to tag team wrestling.
So. Wow. So, all right, Kerry, that did not fill me with too much confidence there. Kind of scaring me. I ask you this, Dr. Kerry. If we do get a SmackDown Championship match, is it going to be relegated to the kickoff show? Which, to be fair, is a 3-hour show. So, I mean, it's like its own pay-per-view, but... If you're talking, Kerry, I can't hear you.
Well, I feel... and I think based on, knowledge and stuff like that, I mean, I have a feeling they'll put it on the main show. Keep both tag team championship matches on the same show. Well, actually, I'll assure you this. If one is on the kickoff show, the other one should be, and vice versa.
That seems fair.
And I like being on the seeing end of someone talking while they think their mic is on. Yes.
That actually happened to me Monday with Steve, except he couldn't see me because we don't do the webcam thing. He's just like, there was dead silence. He's like, if you're talking, I can't hear you. I'm like, pull the Russ.
All right. I have a question for Dr. Kerry.
Fire away.
Okay. Dr. Kerry, Randy Orton never said that he was forfeiting his WrestleMania main event. Yet, SmackDown went ahead and did a couple of matches and determined AJ Styles to be the man to challenge Bray at WrestleMania. Why did AJ just lose his spot? Is there no justice anymore?
I think it's a simple, simple story of the Royal Rumble winner gets to main event WrestleMania. Should AJ have lost a spot? I can understand your pain there. In fact, I would like you to show me on this doll where you were hurt by this.
Well, Kerry, if you want me to show you on the doll, you're going to have to lift it up a little bit higher. Just a little. There we go. So it's right about that region, also known as the groin, because it felt like I got kicked in the crotch.
Yes, I have a prescription for that. It's try to figure out a way to put AJ Styles in this match.
I was going to say more AJ.
Yeah, I felt like AJ went to Utica and got teased really hard at a strip club, and then he had that match. Like, I feel that's what happened, and it made me such a sad, scared panda that he probably called his limo driver and said, get the car ready.
Okay, all right. Man, that is such... Nobody's going to understand that except for 5 people. At least did AJ first, when he realized what was going to happen, did he get in there and just turn right back around, like trying to leave, or was it too late?
He wasn't that smart. Okay. No. Right. No, he went upstairs.
He went upstairs. All right. So, you're right. It just... I understand why they're doing the whole AJ thing. I get it. But AJ makes everything better. Everything he touches, like, is gold. Like, I don't know how that AJ does it, because you'd think he'd get a stinker every once in a while, but he does not have piss-poor matches, or, like, bad matches. So, to tease us with Bray versus AJ, which we knew was never going to happen, let's face it, we knew it wasn't going to happen, it's kind of an insult. It hurts. I wanted to see that match.
It just felt like a unnecessary way to kill 2 weeks. Like, Why tease the fans with that and then drag us along with this whatever we're getting?
It, And that's the other thing.
Makes me sad.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, well, we'll talk about that later, I think. I think we have that as another question coming up. Yeah. Carrie, do you have a solution to how I can now enjoy Randy and Bray? Because it's kind of been brought down a little bit. I mean, the storyline has been great, so I can't say it's going to be a bad match. The storyline's been great, but kind of sullied a little bit because poor AJ. Bringing him into it kind of hurt me a little bit.
I think what you need to do is kind of take yourself back and remember the storyline and all the goodness that has occurred since SummerSlam, and that will help you realize how good this match can potentially be. Just, you know, positive reinforcement, if you will.
What do you think, Kat? Do you think it's going to be a good match?
No. Like, it'll be okay, but no. It's,
as I say, is the storyline bringing up doing anything for you for it?
No, the storyline, if anything, is going to weaken the match because I'm going to have less interest.
Hmm. That's not good wrestling. That's not good WWE. So,
can I ask Dr. Carey a question?
You certainly may, sir.
Now, Dr. Carey, my friends have been telling me that the Raw women's matches are really historic and great.
Now, Kent, hold on, time out. They're really historic and they are great.
Right. Point. I don't see it, though. Like, does this make me a grade A moron?
I don't know. No. I think just maybe they're overselling how great these matches are.
But they're historic.
WWE or my stupid friends?
And people misuse words. And in the case of the word historic and the Raw Women's Division, I think creative is using a word where they... That word does not mean what they think it means.
Dr. Carey, what's a word you would use to describe the women's Raw champ division? Would you use, if you wouldn't use historic and great? Because I'm failing on words.
I would have to say mediocre and boring.
Wow, those are my two words too. Holy crap.
Happy International Women's Day.
That's equal rights for you. See, hey, it is equal rights. Actually, International Women's Day, it is equal rights. The doctor is the woman here. We're just two idiots asking questions.
Yeah, this feels like One Floor of the Cuckoo's Nest was like wrestling mixed in.
All right, to the point of women on Raw. Dr. Carey, I just don't care about the women on Raw. I used to. You know, Charlotte used to be one of my... No, not Charlotte. Wow. Let me rephrase that. Sasha used to be one of my favorite wrestlers. Charlotte's annoying as hell. Sasha used to be one of my favorite wrestlers, and they have slowly killed her on me. Bayley used to be one of my favorite girl wrestlers as well. And I don't know. Is it Raw that's destroying them? Or is it just me? Am I just not getting the concept?
No. I think you're fine. I think it's Raw is killing two women's characters that were built up almost to the point of perfection in NXT. It's kind of shameful, actually. So no, there's nothing wrong with you. There's no prescription I can give you to make that feel better, because there is nothing wrong.
That hurts. That hurts a lot.
That makes me really sad. Like,
it does.
So far, I'm not walking away feeling any better.
No, Dr. Carey, if you're supposed to be making us feel better, so far, three questions in, and I'm got to tell you, I'm still worried. But we got a lot more.
I'm entering Suicide Watch at this point.
I have never cared about the women's division less than I do right now. And that's saying something, because they used to consider women's matches to be breaks. I'm not saying...
Yeah, like 2-minute matches. Exactly. Like the glory days.
Right. Fastlane?
But wasn't it better to have the 2-minute matches, because you got it done and out of the way, they didn't go on long promos and stuff. They didn't waste your time. They just were like, hey, we still have some women's wrestlers. Have something nice to look at. Go take your piss. Come back. We'll have some real wrestling when you come back. Like, they at least acknowledge, like, we don't care. Now they're like, we're going to try to care. No.
I don't mind the long matches as long as they're done well. And I've seen long matches done well. Asuka, almost any match with Asuka's in it's always usually done at least semi-well.
Did you see Asuka versus Peyton Royce?
No, I haven't yet. Worth it?
Good match.
Okay. Becky Lynch has yet to fully disappoint. She hasn't been great, but she hasn't disappointed. It's... There's a Becky Lynch doll for you. It's just the Raw. Like, I used to love watching Sasha. I don't pay attention. Like, I had no idea what happened with the women on this week on Fastlane or on Raw because I just didn't pay attention. So,
the segment on Raw seemed like a really, like, impromptu clusterfuck. Like, it seemed like they had an idea and they did like a quick last second change because some of that. The mic work was just way off this week. Well, yes, I paid attention.
I do remember one thing. It's basically they're trying to like paint Sasha as a kind of a heel, but not. I don't like, or Charlotte's trying to paint her as the heel. And
I like Mario Paint.
That's a good game.
Yeah, we should probably move on because you know 5 minutes per question. It's gonna be a long one.
We're almost there. All right, Dr. Carey. I have read on the internet that some wrestlers are suing WWE for being unsafe and unhealthy work conditions. Triple H has assured us that WWE's doctors are the best in the world. Yet on Tuesday, we witnessed one man, Mr. Baron Corbin, hit Mr. Ambrose with a lead pipe and then pin him to the ground with a forklift. That doesn't seem safe at all to me. WWE is sending me very conflicted messages. What am I supposed to believe?
Well, you have to keep in mind, both of you need to keep in mind that their storytelling on SmackDown and Raw and stuff, and what you saw was storytelling. I highly, highly doubt, and I almost want to assure you that I'm sure Dean Ambrose is just fine.
But, wait, are you telling me that, like, that time when Big Show was like on his father's coffin and Big Boss Man was towing it away, like, are you telling me that was all storyline? Because that seemed very real to me.
It's too real. You know what else seemed real to me? When Kane and, oh my god, I forgot her name. Katie Vick. I knew it was with the Vick. Katie Vick, are you telling me that that never happened? Because Triple H showed me a very real rendition of Kane begging a corpse and fucking its brains out. That seemed real to me.
And are you trying to tell me that WrestleMania, when the Brood lynched the Big Boss Man from the top of Hell in a Cell and he rose up, like, that happened? I'm so confused.
What's going on here, Dr. Carey?
Boys, they're called stunts. Basically, any movie you watch an action. You watch action movies, correct?
Yes.
Just chick flicks.
It's over with. You don't have to worry about it. February's over with, Kat.
Well, in action movies, there's stuntmen and women who do kind of the death-defying stunts that you see in those movies. Well, some of the stuff you see in WWE, I would just equate with stunts. They're people who are trained to do those things. They're not actually getting themselves hurt. They're selling, if you will.
I saw this in Orgasmo. They had the stunt double.
I got it. So Owen Hart's really just okay.
Yeah. Chris Benoit's happily at home in Georgia.
Exactly. I never realized.
Oh my god, that I feel so much better.
Me too.
Finally, an answer that uplifted us at long last.
Whew. Man, for all this time, it's been a lot. Wow, they've really played that storyline well because I thought Owen Hart was dead.
So what'd he do? Just walk away from the business?
I guess he must have.
Good for him.
Yeah, so, you know, if you can walk away, that's good.
Yeah.
And never be heard from again. Like Chris Benoit.
All right. Eddie. Eddie's alive.
Yeah. Didn't die. That's weird, too. All right. Before we all burn in hell. Kat.
Yeah.
I believe it's your turn to answer the question.
Dr. Carey. Kevin Owens is a noted prize fighter. However, he lost his belt on Sunday, yet the following day on Monday, he didn't seem interested in invoking his rematch clause. Is Kevin Owens a big fat liar, or is he just big and fat?
Well, I think that let me put it to you this way. He has misplaced anger issues. His anger issues should be at the fact that he lost the belt and he should try to be, you know, putting himself in a position to get it back. However, since he has misplaced anger issues right now, he needs to take that aggression and vengeance and so on and so forth out on Chris Jericho. I have a feeling we will see him try to get a rematch at some point in the very, very distant near future. Probably after Mania. So don't lose hope, gentlemen. It'll happen. We'll see.
You're saying that he's just big and fat, then? He's not a liar?
Yes.
Good for him.
Yeah, being just big and fat? Right. Yeah, do we really want to go into that clusterfuck?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll hold off on
that. Not yet.
For me, Kevin Owens, he's always been big and fat, but it felt like he was a bit of a liar on Sunday, because that was an embarrassing thing. So, good thing he's just big and fat. Thank you, Dr. Carey. All right, Dr. Carey, WWE has told me that NXT is the place to develop talent. It seems like it sometimes, but when I've looked recently, I just want to go over some of the roster people. There's Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. Last time I checked, those three guys have close to almost maybe 3 to 4 decades worth of wrestling combined between them. My question is, how much more development do these guys need? Are they that bad?
I wouldn't say they're bad. And in fact, I'm going to reassure you they're not bad. Something happens when wrestlers transition from outside the WWE to the WWE. Basically, their wrestling styles don't mesh. Like, a style in New Japan isn't exactly the WWE style. The style in TNA, not exactly the style in WWE. Which is why you see wrestlers like Shinsuke Nakamura, Finn Balor, Bobby Roode and stuff like that. When they come in from outside the company, they stay there for a little while and they get refined into the WWE style. At the same time, they're also helping to build up the developmental talent as well. The people who came to the Performance Center, who tried out. So basically it's twofold. They're getting adjusted and they're also helping with the future generation as well.
I have a follow-up question. Since you said style so much, is that where AJ got his name? Is that why he didn't have to go through NXTs? Because he already had styles?
AJ Styles is a different breed of character.
I was going to say, AJ Styles is better than almost the entire roster in WWE. I don't think he needs any more development. Plus, he does have the name Styles in there.
Exactly. That's why they didn't send him to NXT. He already had the style.
All right. Well, I have a question, Dr. Carey. I believe I heard Vince McMahon once tell Stone Cold Steve Austin on a podcast much like our own, only listened to by many people, he suggested that Cesaro had yet to grab the brass rings. He has acknowledged the need to create new stars, yet every year he brings back part-timers and legends and puts them in the biggest matches and rarely gives a young guy an opportunity to grab aforementioned brass rings. I'm just very confused by this. Like, what are the young talent supposed to do if they can't even get the opportunity? How does this make sense? Make sense, please. I'm confused.
Well, let me explain it to you in business terms. And WWE is a business, publicly traded, blah, blah, blah. What Vince McMahon is making is he's making smart business decisions. Subscribers to the network means funds. That means revenue. That means he can cover his, you know, costs for his, to run the company. You know, pay the talent, pay the backstage people, pay the people in the corporate office. Those are, you know, costs that his, that revenue kind of covers, so, over and above. And then, you know, whatever's left over is profitability. Basically, it's accounting 101, so to speak, in terms of overall managerial accounting costs.
Okay, now hold on, hold on. I've heard a lot of crazy things tonight. WWE is a business. Wrestling has stories. You, madam, doctor, are giving me these mixed signals. What is going on? I thought wrestling was wrestling. You're telling me that we have to worry about shareholders and profits?
I mean, quite frankly, my anaconda don't want funds unless you got buns, hon.
I mean, we as fans could care less about profitability, shareholders, you know, answering to a board of directors. Vince McMahon doesn't have that luxury. He has to answer to his board of directors. His board of directors is going to say, oh, I see WrestleMania. Your main event is this person versus this person. And you only had this many number of subscribers. Why is that? When you could have had Brock versus Goldberg had 500 additional subscribers that you didn't have last month. Yeah. Why didn't you do it that way?
No, wait. Again, you confuse me. Because couldn't Vince McMahon just go out there and tell them to kiss his ass because he's the boss? And then have them join the Kiss My Ass Club?
I think you're confusing Vince McMahon the character with Vince McMahon the businessman.
Damn it! I always screw it up. You all
right? I'm so confused right now.
I will say this.
Wait, is he still the genetic jackhammer?
Of course.
Yes.
Or is that character Vince or real Vince? Is that shareholder Vince? Is that brass rings Vince? Which Vince is the genetic jackhammer?
I think they all are.
All of the above, Kent. All of the above.
I do like this. This is the one thing I will say. Carrie, you did bring a good perspective of what Vince McMahon does have to do, even though, because we're hardcore fans. So we do piss on it when we have to see these garbage things. But Vince does have to build the business, and it does make sense to bring in those cash fans who want to see Brock versus Goldberg. So I get it, but...
But at some point, don't you just have to take the loss to build the brand? Like, a sports team, you know, like, you get to the top and then your guys get older, right? And eventually you gotta, like, get some... You gotta bomb so you get some high draft picks and then become great again. Don't you have to go through that cycle at some point?
If you can avoid it, though, it doesn't hurt. Like, Brock and Goldberg is a great idea. It just shouldn't be for the title.
I mean, I want to cite the fact that in order to get to the greatest era that we ever had in pro wrestling in most fans' minds, we went through the worst times as well, which was the early to mid-90s, which was where they had hardly anybody established, except for like Brett and Shawn. And they were forced. They were forced to, you know, have a Kane, a Triple H, a Val Venus, a Stone Cold, a Rock. And look at how well it did for them. Like, that generation is still in some ways carrying WrestleManias today. Isn't it worth it? Or no? I think it's worth that risk.
That you're also talking about the greatest. It was also the greatest, too. And Dr. Carey, I'm going to let you answer this one. But there was also competition, too. Serious competition. Not the garbage.
Yeah, ECW was awesome.
Exactly. So, there was serious competition back then that Vince had to do it or he was going to go out of business, I think. Dr. Carey, where's your head on this one?
Well, competition does breed a certain type of business decision making. In the case of the Attitude Era, you had a big business run by Ted Turner with WCW. Yes, bad decisions were made, and that's why that company went under. But the thing is that it inspired Vince to make the decisions that he made in order to build his business. You see, right now, competition isn't as fierce. There are other promotions out there, but they're just not, in his mind, deemed as much of a threat as WCW was, which means he can kind of rest back on those business decisions.
May I ask one other thing, though? You talked about business decisions that sunk WCW. Was it one of those business decisions to constantly push a certain Bill Goldberg? And here we are 15 years later, pushing Bill Goldberg? Like,
and wasn't one of also those bad decisions throwing tons of money at old wrestlers who weren't worth their weight in gold, but yet they just threw tons of money at them? Oh, kind of like what Vince is doing with Brock Lesnar and...
By God, this feels hypocritical.
It is. Dr. Carey.
All right. So I'll explain this one to you both. See, the thing is the decisions that WCW made, which are very, to your point, very similar to the ones that WWE is making right now. The thing is, with WCW, their decisions have consequences because of competition. WWE can make those decisions right now, and basically, they go unscathed. No one is going to come in tomorrow and buy them out.
This hurts me on so many levels because she's right.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, again, bringing me down. So let's see. Carey, all right. I want to talk about something that's a little bit more personal here, okay? Dr. Carey, the WWE constantly tells me, the fans, all of us, to be a star and rise above the hate and not to bully. And I take that to heart. But then when I watch WWE, I see a beautiful young couple sharing their beloved romance, telling us all about this great thing that they have together. And then this one guy, he's a bit bigger guy. Some might say he's he runs the yard, perhaps. And he comes out there and he ruins their beautiful moment. And frankly, he's really mean to both this girl and this guy. Very mean. I would almost borderline say it's bully. He's a bully. Yet, he's portrayed as the guy we're supposed to be cheering. And this couple who's done nothing wrong, are the bad guys. My question is, do I tell an adult or a teacher?
Well, anytime you feel somebody's being bullied, you should definitely tell an adult or a teacher. Just, you know, a very free public service announcement from us at Are You Not Entertained to you, the listeners out there. Now, to answer your question, Russ, or help you with your question, sometimes we are told things that, or we're made to think things that aren't exactly, you know, correct. And in the case of the incident that you're speaking of, we are led to believe that the man whose yard is being run, I think he has very wet hair, if I remember correctly.
Some of the wettest.
I've heard when it rains, it bores.
It does. And it rains all over just his head, so.
We are made to believe that he is good, that he is a good man, that he, you know, that we should, well, really, really just support him as an individual. And that's told to us week in and week out and week in and week out. As for the couple, I know the couple you're speaking of, and I love them both. Seriously, everyone watch Total Divas. You will get a new appreciation for Rusev and Lana. Would that be...
Whoa. I was trying to keep names out of this because I was trying to protect my friend here, okay? I did not want to have to go tell an adult or teacher these people. Come on, Carrie. Name's not couple, just a loving couple.
Okay, I am very sorry. Forget I even said their names.
Wait, we were talking about Rusev and Lana? Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, see, Kent didn't know, and now...
Yeah, I wasn't in on this! I thought we were talking about Ellsworth and Carmella with John Cena!
And the worst part is, now... Actually, that's a very parallel similarity there.
It really is.
But now Kent knows. So, all right, fine. Rusev and Lana, go ahead.
Well, we also have to remember how both of those characters were portrayed up to this point. Fans have a very, very long memory. Especially the hardcore ones. And Rusev and Lana have not always been nice to the crowd. Yes, the individual you mentioned was incorrect in his, interfering in their celebration of their wedding and marriage and happiness and so on and so forth. But overall, one is painted one way, one is painted the other way, and it's up to us, the fans, to just remember, we are supposed to like who they tell us to like.
I don't understand what painting has to do with one being Samoan and one being Bulgarian. That answer really matched my hopes and dreams. Like, man, I don't know.
I have a prescription for both of you. Just watch more Lana. It'll make you feel better.
Speaking of Lana, Kent, I do believe you have a question.
Why, yes. Yes, I do. Now, Dr. Carey, you're a doctor, so I feel comfortable in asking you this in private. Sometimes, when I'm watching SmackDown, Alexa Bliss is on there, and she gets in the ring, she does a few moves, and I get like this weird, funny feeling in my special area. You know what I mean, right? Like, I ain't got it spelled out. I don't know how to get rid of this special feeling. Like, do I have cancer? Do I need to consult my doctor if this lasts for more than 4 hours? What do I do about this?
You are 100% fine. It is definitely natural for a boy your age to be attracted to a woman as beautiful as Alexa Bliss.
I'm a big boy.
Some might say that, yes. All right. The Birds and the Bees with Kent Waldron.
And the Bliss.
And the Bliss. All right. Dr. Carey, Michael Cole and Corey Graves keep telling me that Titus O'Neil has all the tools to succeed. Some might say he's a brand, and it's a brand that it's worth watching. Except, he keeps losing. Does he need a new toolbox?
No, he doesn't. He just needs to, well, for one, keep his hands off the boss. And by boss, I mean Vince McMahon. You should never grab your boss, people. It's a bad idea. But
so he didn't grab Sasha? By the hair? I mean, that could explain a lot.
No, he did not grab Sasha. But, to make you a little more reassured, perhaps we'll see a strong showing from him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal in a few weeks.
He's going to be the first one eliminated.
Is he even in it?
Probably not.
I think he does need a new toolbox. He needs a new toolbox, a new tool set, and a new tool WWE wrestling. So I guess TNA or Ring of Honor.
Or at least NXT something. Yeah. I don't know. Something's...
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Carey, I don't even know how to go about this, but this is supposed to be a safe place, and I didn't know who to tell, but I think there's been a murder, and I really don't know what to do about this, but I have it on good authority that a certain Abigail has been murdered. Is anybody looking into this? Like, can I get some closure? Like, did she die? Did she get murdered? Like, I'm so worried.
I heard she's a sister, too. That scares me. She's a sister. To somebody.
So was Sensational Sherry when she managed Harlem Heat.
That's true.
All right. I'd like to reassure both of you that murder would never be put in a WWE storyline. I'm sure Sister Abigail is her name.
Didn't Big Boss Man make Al Snow eat his dog at one point? Like, that was murder. Just saying, that happened. Like, that really happened.
Didn't Chris Benoit murder his family in that whole storyline there?
That was not a WWE storyline.
Oh! Whoa, all right. Sorry.
Too soon.
Yes, it was.
If
we had fans, they're gone now.
Well, to the fans that are left, it's a healing process, everyone. A healing process. I'm sure you need healing as well. But back to Kent's question. I think in this instance, one, they would never put murder in a storyline. Two, just based on past stories and promos from Bray, I have a feeling Sister Abigail may have been a figment of his imagination. She doesn't actually she never physically existed. I mean, if you've watched a Bray Wyatt promo, there's a lot going on in that head of his. So, I think...
Does he still have the whole world in his hands?
Of course he does.
This is starting to feel like Shutter Island to me. Very weird that Bray may have imagined this.
There's a possibility of that, but then Randy and Luke also imagined Sister Abigail. I mean, Randy never met her. But he knows of her.
Well, we don't know that he never met her, do we?
That's true, we don't. There's no... Carrie.
I mean, I saw Braun had dinner with her at some point.
Well, gentlemen, when you're in a cult, and this goes back to my teachings in therapist school, you are made to believe many things in order to, you know, one, appease your leader, and also to... You know, it's part of the process of being in a, it's not a very good term for me to use, but a cult. And the Wyatt family could be a classic textbook definition of a cult.
Is Randy Orton suffering Stockholm Syndrome then?
Quite possibly. That may
have read.
That may have led him to do many of the actions that he has done in the past week.
Include burning down their house.
Was it really a house, though? Like, I don't know. Like, it just seemed like a barn. He had the chair and stuff. Right, but I didn't see a TV. I didn't see a sofa.
Stop killing the dream. All right. I have a question for Dr. Carey. May I ask it? Because I got to know this. All right, so Dr. Carey, Apollo Crews keeps smiling at people, and it makes me uncomfortable. He smiles at his opponents. I don't think it's normal. Is he emotionally okay?
I'm sure he's just a very, very happy individual. I've seen the man. He's just really, really happy. And I think we should be happy for him as well.
Maybe he just needs a cat or something.
Yes, cats are great. I recommend them.
Wow, you sounded very excited about that. Good for you, champ.
Yes, I don't want to murder this cat that's sitting next to me right at this moment, right now, because he's a pain in my butt. Not at all. I love cats.
I'm allergic to him. I hate him. Yeah. I have a question. Dr. Carey, Akira Tozawa yells a lot, and it frightens me. Is he dying, or does he have turrets?
Also known as Tourette's. Because if he has turrets, I don't think that's a...
Oh, Rusev had turret.
Yeah, Rusev had turret.
Yeah. Oh. My bad.
To answer your question, I think the gentleman is probably just fine. Some people, when they perform, have their own style, and his style is yelling. You shouldn't let it affect you, and you shouldn't let it scare you.
I hate watching performers yell all the time. I usually stop those videos. Just, go about your business, do your thing, and be done with it. I don't know. Russ, do you have a question?
Well, I was saving it for later, but why not? Dr. Carey, you're a doctor, or so I've been told. Why would the WWE allow Seth Rollins to compete at WrestleMania when he has an injury? Isn't that just unsafe? This goes back to Kent's question.
I've been watching this story from a professional standpoint, and I'm very questionable about this. I mean, he's legitimately hurt, and I feel that they may be rushing him back too soon. But at the same time, as, a legitimate business like the WWE is, you would suspect that they would not want to harm their athletes because, lawsuits and, just other business problems that could occur.
Didn't they do that, though, with Daniel Bryan in 2014 when he was trying to nurse an injury and they kept insisting on bringing him back so he could do the yes thing and then hurt himself even more and prolong his agony and then he came back and then retired? Isn't that kind of what they're doing now? Like, milking the guy for what he left and hope for the best?
I want to be positive about this. I want to make you guys feel better about this. But really, as a professional, I have to say that what the WWE did with Daniel Bryan, what they did with CM Punk as well, rushing him back from injuries, not treating that MRSA infection. I don't know. I mean, that's pending legal legislation. Litigation that I don't want to get into, and we probably shouldn't on this podcast as well. And
especially if it's legislation, because that's way over my head.
I meant, what did I say?
Lawyer talk. I got it. Lawyer talk. I understand.
You said litigation.
Yeah, yes, you did say litigation. Yes.
Thank
you. Were right. It just.
Hey, living with a lawyer, you learn all these terms, they start getting, jumbled around in your head. But in the case of Seth Rollins, I really hope they're being smart about this. That's all I have to say.
I do have a question. Is it WWE or is it the guys? Like, is it WWE saying, hey, you should, hurry up? Or is it
like guys that don't want to, miss a
paycheck? Yeah, they don't want to miss paycheck. They don't want to miss anything.
I have a feeling it's a combination of both in this case. I think Seth doesn't want to miss another WrestleMania, which is why he's trying to rehab as hard as he can. While at the same time, WWE doesn't want to scramble to find another opponent for Triple H and ruin their WrestleMania plans.
Well, it's true. And I mean, he is healed now. It's just now getting the strength back, I believe.
I thought he was still a face.
Good stuff.
Well played. Kat,
you have a question.
I do. Man, I come off like I have a lot of issues here. Dr. Carey, sometimes I hear voices in my head, and they talk to me, and they tell me to burn things. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I think in this case, we just need to, I think we need to further evaluate that. Because, I mean, arson is a crime. So.
What if it's just like on a rocking chair or something, though? Is that okay?
Or in a barn that looks abandoned.
Right, with fleshy bits.
It's and earthworms. Still arson. I think, and in that case, that's a clinical evaluation I think we should set aside for another time. That's going to take more than just this episode to discuss.
So an RKO would not help him.
Maybe one out of nowhere.
I bet that's the only way to help him. An RKO out of nowhere. So Kent, one of these days, I'll help you out. I'll just, out of nowhere, you're not going to see it coming. RKO out of nowhere.
I'll put you in the figure eight.
That worked so well the last time. All right, Dr. Carey, I have a question. Now, there's this girl, okay?
Ooh.
Let's call her Emma, because I refuse to call her anything else. She's kind of mythical. I've never actually seen her. I like to think she's like Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster. Now, they keep saying that I will see her pretty much every week. I'm going to see her. And they did tease this one thing, and I'm not sure. It was kind of blurry. But it looked like they showed a girl. It looked like a girl. And she said she claimed she was Emma. She came out for about 5 seconds, posed, and then said, it's over with, walks away. And I haven't heard anything since. What's going on? Is this Emma real?
I believe that she may be real. I mean, she's been physically on television. Multiple people have seen her, which basically means that there multiple people can't have, you know, that. You wouldn't say they would have hallucinations.
Really? Because Loch Ness Monster, I don't believe is real, but a lot of people say they've seen that. Bigfoot, too.
I think I had the exact same dream that Russ had. Like, that's weird. Are we getting, like, some Inception shit here?
Quite possibly. This is another one where I really need to, you know, do some more clinical analysis.
Like, you know, is a dream within a dream? Is Emma a dream within an Emelina within an Emma? Just asking.
Maybe. I say we give it a couple weeks and see if she shows up again.
I don't think it's ever going to happen. So,
nah.
It's one of those myths. Kind of like Ava Marie myth. You know that one.
Who?
Exactly. Yeah, see.
Now, Dr. Carey, I have a question. And we talked about what we see on TV being real and what storyline, what's real. I'm confused. The Undertaker is supposed to be the dead man. Shouldn't we all be a little concerned that there's like this undead, like, zombie guy that's just roaming around? He comes around every spring. Should we get, like, the police involved? Do we get, like, the CDC involved? Like, this is a little concerning. We have a dead person who comes back every year around this time. What the hell?
Yeah, well, and frankly, we're lucky there aren't more undead men walking around. I've always been told that the undead turn the living to undead.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this question. Has he actually hurt anyone?
Oh, on multiple occasions, I'm sure he's hurt people.
I mean, seriously injured them to the point where, you know, he would kill them and then they would turn.
Mick Foley. Or Mankind at that point. I'm sorry, it was Mankind.
Mankind.
He threw him.
Yeah.
I am familiar with the individual you're talking about. I am sure that the authorities would be involved if he was actually a zombie. I'm sure he's fine.
Triple H and Steph?
Yes.
Well, they probably are involved. I think it's a whole big cover-up here.
Wait a second. Maybe Mick... Because Mankind that doesn't even exist anymore.
No, he doesn't. He's dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then he came back as a... He came back as a dude love.
Yes.
So he did create a undead.
Yes.
Well, do we have any evidence that Dude Love was actually undead?
He was pretty spaced out.
Wasn't he a hippie? Or hippie-type character?
Drugs, Carrie. They space you out. That's what I was going for.
I know.
Man, holy foley.
There it is. I love how we bring it all together, guys. It works so well. All right. So Undertaker, he kills people. We got it. All right. Dr. Carey, how come the women are allowed to hit the men? For example, Maurice slapping John. But if John decided to go after this woman for hitting him, it's assault, brother. What's going on here?
It's the typical story of gender roles. Men aren't supposed to hit women, but women are allowed to hit men. It's just what's politically correct and acceptable. It doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just societal norms.
But isn't it wrong when Stephanie rears back and hauls off and hits a guy to the point where his face is instantly red? Like, isn't there, like, a weird, like, line where it, like, goes from, like, a playful slap to, that really looked painful?
Well, technically, from a, you know, criminal standpoint, you would think that, or, you know, a legal standpoint, both of those instances where either she hitting someone or somebody hitting, let's say, a woman, it should be assault on both ends. That's my opinion. My professional opinion.
You know what was nice? When Triple H pedigreed Stephanie.
Well deserved.
Absolutely. In the bed.
I was going to say, doesn't he do that a lot anyway?
Yeah, oh God. Oh man, could you imagine that? That's what they do? That's like their thing? They're sitting in bed. She's giving him a little, you know, a little that nice stuff. And then all of a sudden he just takes her up and then boom, when she's done.
Yeah.
Come on.
I think about that.
I bet you that happens all the time.
Usually Kevin Nash is involved, too.
Of course.
Big sexy. I have a question. And this is kind of
very long
really been bothering me. Dr. Carey, why would the WWE, insane mind, why would they put the Universal title on a 50-year-old man who has never loved this business and is now main eventing WrestleMania? This is very fucking confusing because I thought WrestleMania was a place to reward hard work. Why would they put the belt on a part-timer? This really just doesn't make any sense. Like, what the fuck were they thinking? Like, Jesus tap dancing Christ. I mean, come the fuck on here, people. Whoever wins, we lose. A part-timer is going to enter WrestleMania, and a part-timer is going to leave WrestleMania with the belt. No matter, part-timer wins here. If you were employed there, why the fuck would you even care anymore? They clearly give zero fucks about the streak being gone, Cena's tied Ric Flair's record, and now this bullshit. What the fuck are they thinking?
Sounds like someone's gears have been grinded on that one.
I agree, and I would like you to hear more. In fact, I think we need the Chucky doll. I want Kent to show us on the Chucky doll where this setup for this match hurt him.
It hurt me mainly in this region here, the head, with a swift kick to there, and then a crossface there. Wow, That's a stiff arm. Well made. Yeah.
And Kent, how do you feel when let me see. How do you feel when
he's smiling at you?
First of all, it's she, that's Becky Lynch. Let's make this accurate.
Becky Lynch dressed like Bailey, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's like that is a mix of Bailey and Becky Lynch.
Okay, so back to the healing or potential healing. What would you say? Let me see. How can I word this question? How do you propose they fix this wrong, this injustice that you feel that they've done? How should this be corrected?
Do you want the real answer here?
Whoa. Yeah, you're the doctor. He's asking you.
Well, I mean, from a patient's perspective, I think the obvious answer is to plant some cocaine on Bill Goldberg and then find it on him. Promptly fire him and hold a one-night tournament at WrestleMania for the red belt. The winner takes on Brock Lesnar in the main event.
Where Brock Lesnar will win it anyway, and...
And it would be Cesaro versus Brock Lesnar. Because that's how you repay the fans after years and years and years of shit. Does that answer your question,
Dr. Carey? Yes, it does, and I definitely can sense some intense anger, and we'll work through that in our next session. But to answer your question about why they're doing this, goes back to my previous point. Subscriber rates. Again, WWE is a business. They could give two shits less what the fans want. At the end of the day, it's about the bottom line. It's unfortunate, but it's something that all three of us will have to work through soon.
But they're giving WrestleMania away for free.
If you subscribe.
Right now. To WWE Network.
Yes.
There you go, WWE. There's got to be some fine print there that says you get this for free if you stay X number of months for subscribing. I bet there's
fine print. Yeah, there's auto renewal after the first 30 days.
Right. You have to literally go in there and say, no, I don't want it.
If we just promote the network just once every episode, are we basically legally covered to rip them to shreds every week? Like, we're doing them a favor.
I think we rip them to shreds pretty much every week anyway, so...
Buy my book.
That is still a classic line.
Yes, it is. I don't know. The whole thing just frustrates me, and I mean, really, that's the crux of why I'm here, is because I just, since Sunday, I haven't been able to get over it, and I even wrote 5 pages in my personal diary, which you can find at 9deuce.com/wrestling.
All right. There you go, 9deuce.com. That one's on us. Oh. Wait, we are 9deuce.com, sorry.
Yeah.
It's right. So,
I'm still sad. Like, I can't be the only person that held out hope that they were going to, like, fix this wrong. Right? Like,
well, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, it feels like they, in the last 2 weeks, they have completely undone everything they worked for. Giving us a good champion in Kevin Owens, granted he didn't have a great run, but he was still a good champion, something that who deserved a championship run. And they give it to Bill Goldberg.
And why didn't KO have a good run? Because they've been holding off on the Seth Rollins Triple H feud instead of pulling the trigger on it 3 months ago.
Yep.
And pushing a bully.
Yep. The other problem is, too, and I'll even go on SmackDown on this one, they give us the tag team championship match that we wanted at WrestleMania, frankly, way too early, and then they just decide to drop it completely right before WrestleMania. If you didn't have any plans for WrestleMania, this is the perfect time to be doing getting America Alpha to the championship. This is the perfect time to be doing it, and they're not. It's all these little things. Like this last week, honestly, since I've watched Fastlane, I've just not cared. There are certain things I want to watch, don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't, I'm like, oh my God. Even with, like, I was just thinking about it, Raw. It wasn't bad, but I just felt like, whatever.
SmackDown, I wasn't even into SmackDown that much this week, even though I was watching it live, which took a lot of gusto out of me. The only thing that I've enjoyed so far this week actually is 205 Live.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Aries has a match.
I did hear about that, so I'll probably watch it tonight.
Aside from that, I mean, I think there's only two matches, but it was good for what it was. Hell, even talking smack wasn't that good.
All right, Dr. Carey, I have one last question.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Carey, and I think this is probably the crux of this whole thing, so be prepared. Dr. Carey, why does the WWE hate its fans so much? I honestly think it's kind of mean.
I don't think the WWE hates us as more as they want us to like what they like. And we don't want that. And it's unfortunate, but I guess they're trying to appeal to all sides.
Okay, I get that. But their hardcore fans are the ones they should be at least appeasing us. I understand we're not going to go away. Well, we might not go away. You never know. But you should at least appease us a little bit, especially at WrestleMania time. I get it. You need to have those big guys to get the faux fans in. I get that. I understand that stuff. So I'm not against it. But they took away almost everything from the big fan. They took away, honestly, AJ Styles being champion. He should have been.
Hey, Cena had to have that for a 16th time, brother.
Exactly, right? Why? They gave the championship to Bill Goldberg, which, okay, only the casual fan will care about that. I want to see people who deserve the belt, not Goldberg versus Brock for the belt. I don't mind Goldberg versus Brock as a match. I'm fine with it. Perfectly okay with it. I don't need it to be for a title belt. I feel like there's other people. Cesaro. I can name 50 more other guys that are deserving of the chance for the belt than Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. It just seems to me that WWE only throws us bones once in a great while, because they know we'll stick around. It's kind of mean. They should be catering to us just a little bit.
I want to pile on to what Russ just said for a second, because I always hear the excuse, well, they're trying to appeal to the casual fans. Well, here's the question. How the fuck are they supposed to get casual fans? Oh, I know. Through word of mouth from the hardcore fans, because nobody just stops on wrestling and is like, oh, I'm going to start watching that. Like, that really doesn't happen. The casual fan hears about Goldberg through, like, a hardcore wrestling fan, like, posting on social media or something. And they're like, oh, I remember Goldberg. Yeah, I'll watch it. So even more incentive to toss us a bone, because without us, casual fans aren't really aware of the product. Why would they be? If they wanted to watch wrestling, they'd be watching wrestling. No, they only hear about it from the hardcore fans. I would say that's probably 97% of the time that they would ever hear about wrestling. We are the messenger, yet we're treated like the minority. That doesn't really seem fair.
And maybe it isn't. I think in the case of this WrestleMania, my recommendation, my medical opinion, if you will, is to focus on the matches on the card that we do want to see. You know, in their current form. Not think what might have been or what have you, but appreciate what we are being given. Like, you know, the possibility of Aries versus Neville, or KO versus Jericho, or...
That should have been belt for belt, though.
But it goes back to my previous point, where we should appreciate what we have. And
Luke's not in the Bray Wyatt match.
Luke's not even in a match at WrestleMania at this point.
Here's the thing. You know what? That's what Survivor fucking Series is for. Is for us to be thankful, because it kind of happens right at fucking Thanksgiving. So, there. That's your fucking pay-per-view to make us be thankful. WrestleMania is for fucking great matches, and that's what's pissing me off. You can give us our be thankful for everything we have at WrestleMania, at fucking Survivor Series. I'm fine with that. That's cool. But WrestleMania should be meaningful.
Should be about the wrestling. Right now,
seriously, have you looked at the proposed card? It's got 14 matches, and really, was there four matches that you actually are looking forward to?
Okay.
That's sad.
I want to bring up a question. Undertaker versus Roman, do you care about it anymore, or because the streak's been broken, who gives a fuck?
Don't give a fuck. Plus, now it's pretty much said that Vince wanted Roman to get Taker's last match. That's why Cena doesn't have it. Vince wanted Roman to have it, and Taker's done. I won't be surprised if Braun gets inserted into the match, because Taker probably can't go.
That's what I was thinking.
So I think they're going to have to do the triple threat.
It's just... But, if the streak was still intact, I think this would have been a monumental match, because it would have been... I think it would have been Roman winning it. And I'd have been okay with it. I honestly would have been okay with Roman winning it. That's what I was going to ask you. If the streak was still intact, and I really wanted to ask this question, I should have probably asked it as number four, but whatever. If the streak was still intact, is this one of the biggest matches you've ever wanted to just witness? Or would have witnessed and wanted to see?
Are you asking me if the streak was intact and this was Taker's retirement match, would I get excited no matter the opponent? Or are you asking me specifically with Roman?
It's... Yes, with Roman specifically. So Roman is the guy versus Undertaker for it to possibly break the streak.
No, I always felt that Bray was the guy to do it. Bray made the most sense. Or an equally younger guy. So Roman's in the Brock Lesnar phase, where Brock Lesnar didn't need to end the streak because Brock Lesnar was a legitimate badass that just by his own name, he could main event any pay-per-view and nobody'd be like, oh, that don't seem fair. Really, go tell that to Brock Lesnar. Brock didn't need that rub. Roman doesn't need the rub because they've spent the past 3 years rubbing him all over us. He doesn't need it. So, no, I would have been excited for Undertaker's retirement match had the streak. And even if it was Roman, I would have still been excited. But Roman's not the guy for this particular job because of the way they've booked him. He doesn't need it. Somebody else could. Bray could have used it. Because, quite frankly, if Bray would have ended the streak, that's way better than this fucking title run that he's going to have. I mean, unless Bray goes on a five-year run, ending the streak's the biggest thing that there ever was in pro wrestling.
Which, again, they gave away to a made person who's a part-timer. Way to go, WWE. All right, well, Dr. Carey, I'm just going to say this. Thank you for your insight, but I do not feel much better.
I'm sorry, guys.
I've been cutting myself.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, guys. I want to help you guys feel better, but quite frankly, I am just in the same boat as the rest of you. And to that, I say harumph.
I do like how you started out with that.
Yeah, that was good.
That's going to continue.
All right. We've been talking quite a bit, and this is a fun segment. But let's get into the old standbys, our segments that we like to always do every week. So I'm going to start with you, Carey. Even though you've been doctoring it up here, I'm sure you still had time to do your investigative reporting. Carey, what do you got for us? What's the big news scoop of the week?
All right. So everyone, this week's big wrestling story of the week is big. In fact, it's huge, as in 7 feet tall, huge. According to Wrestling News World, Big Show has officially announced his retirement date. He made this announcement during an interview with Yahoo Sports, where he said that he would end his run as a full-time guy in February of 2018. He did say that he would be willing to stay on and work as an ambassador or whatever type of role the WWE offers him, but he is hanging up his wrestling boots in February of 2018. So what do you think, guys?
Seems like an odd time to do it. Might as well just wait for WrestleMania and then do it.
Well, Russ, if you think back, I'm going to bring some logic here. Big Show made his debut at St. Valentine's Massacre, a pay-per-view held in February. So his contract's been renewing every February. That's why that happened. Yeah, I thought about that. Isn't this all the more reason for Big Show to actually have a match? Like, a match on the main card? I mean, or at the very least, he's got to win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal if he's not going to get a big match, right? They have to do this. Even though he's not a part-timer.
That's the worst part. He's not a part-timer.
Or maybe they'll wait till next year and then give it to him when he is a part-timer.
Yes, there you go. So when he's a part-timer, then he'll start getting the big bucks. I think he's smart. He should retire sooner.
If I was Mark Henry, I would retire today.
Exactly. He gets so much more money out of it. He might even get another title run.
Actually, in response to Big Show, though, I actually heard that the Shaq match might actually be back on.
I don't think it was ever off. I think they were playing it down.
I don't think it's on.
What gives you that?
Well, judging by the color of both your skins, I can't imagine that either one of you watch NBA very much. You don't watch Inside the NBA on TNT.
Even though you are being racist, you are correct.
Yeah. Now me, as the darkest man in the room, and the only man in the room,
How
do.
How you doing?
And Shaq is 7 feet tall, and I know you can't teach that, but he's also like 400 something. Like, he's out of shape as fuck. Like, he would have to wear, like, street clothes to fight in. It would just be really weird. He's not in shape. I don't see any rhyme or reason.
Where Big Show is.
He doesn't really have a hold to Orlando either. He was only played for the Orlando Magic for, I think, 5 seasons before he ended up going to the Lakers. And then he did come back to Miami later on in his career, but Miami's not fucking Orlando. So, you know, it is a difference. Well, I mean, they are significantly different places, and he's just not beholden to Orlando the way that some fans think he is, because they all remember Shaq when he was a rookie in Orlando. He stayed with the Lakers longer than he stayed with Orlando. I just don't think that match is happening. He's not in good enough shape. He can barely take down fat-ass Barkley, who I love, by the way.
That's true. I haven't seen Shaq. All I've seen him is in those commercials for Icy High. He looks okay in those, though, so I'm not...
That motherfucker's in like 25 different commercials, and the best part is, for Christmas, he gives gifts that are just endorsements. Like, this free shit he gets from like Icy Hot, that's what he gives out for Christmas gifts. He's that cheap, but that's smart.
Cheap motherfucker.
Ain't that great?
I guess.
This is what I get for watching Inside the NBA.
Apparently.
It's a good show.
All right.
Hey, Russ.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm not 7 feet tall, but you can you can teach my height.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to get kicked in the face by Sheamus anytime soon? Because that has been the best part of Raw the past couple of weeks, just saying. I'm also bi-curious. Who's your man crush of the week?
Ah, the man crush of the week. Of course, the anticipated wait that everyone who listens to this podcast, so the three of us, are always waiting for.
I don't listen to this garbage.
Well, you're listening to it right now, so.
Yeah, kind of.
All right, so my man crush of the week, everybody. This one's probably an obvious one. It is a Hall of Famer. No, not the one that Kent defiled a couple weeks ago. Okay? No,
It's true. It's true. I did.
It is a new Hall of Famer that was just inducted this week. Of course, I'm talking about Ravishing Rick Rude. Okay, now I know this is an oldie, and I know he's not alive, so bear with me. The reason why I have this man crush is he is actually the first heel that I was kind of introduced to. Now, back when I was young, and wrestling back then was still kind of taboo to say it was fake, so everybody thought it was still real, and it was kind of hard to tell at that point for me. I watched, my first match I ever watched was Ravishing Rick Rude, and I want to say it was against the Ultimate Warrior. I'm pretty sure it was, but I can't be, I can't be 100% sure it was.
If it was at WrestleMania or SummerSlam, it probably was.
I want to say,
because they feuded for about a year and a half.
It's possible. The only thing I can remember is this guy was a total asshole. And I couldn't believe how much of a jerk this guy was. And I just hated him. Now, granted, I was like 10 or 11 at this point, maybe even 12. Somewhere's around there. 12, right?
Lower.
Was it 10?
You 1989 was...
So 9 or 10. Yeah, so 9 or 10. Yeah. Okay. So about 9 or 10. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember what age it was. It's been that long. But I remember just seeing this guy and going, what a total asshole. And just thinking, oh my God, someone needs to shut the hell this guy the hell up. He's an asshole. And he's the first guy who I learned later on. Obviously, he was a heel and he was just doing his job. But kudos to him, because I didn't know. Granted, I'm a 9-year-old kid. But it was great. He was actually so good at his job that he made me... Like, there's others that were heels that I didn't... Whatever, who cares? I really actually hated. Like, I hated him so much. And he's the first guy I actually hated in wrestling. So he is my man crush of the week. Because, darn it, not to mention, he looks fantastic. Okay? He did look fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, he probably was, like, my first heel that I truly hated because of his feud with Warrior when I first got in. I mean, there was three good heels at the time. There was him, there was Macho King, Randy Savage, mm-hmm. and Mr. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And Macho Man was just too fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, he was hard to hate.
And I didn't hate him, though. And Mr. Perfect, I just thought he was cool because everything he did was perfect.
His promos were hilarious, yeah, so too.
I never hated him.
Million Dollar Man also was around, but I never hated him either. So,
here's my problem with him. He was giving money away. I was like, pick me! Yeah. Pick me!
Right. I do wonder, who do you think they're going to have induct Rick Rude? Because if you go back to Ravishing Rick Rude's WWF career, his four main feuds were with Roddy Piper,
mm-hmm.
Ultimate Warrior, mm-hmm. Big Boss Man, and Jake the Snake Roberts, but DDP's also said that he would probably like Jake the Snake to induct him.
Yes, I've heard that. I heard Jake the Snake. DDP wants Jake the Snake.
Like, wouldn't it make sense to have Hall do DDP and then have Jake, so we have both Hall and Jake talk at the Hall of Fame? Like, who's against this?
Yeah, no. That's a tough one. You're right, because... Oh, yeah, like...
He had matches in WCW, Ravishing
Rick Rude, did Rick Rude have anybody in WWE that's family?
No. I mean, they could go, like, the Minnesota connection. Like, Curtis Axel could technically induct him, because Ravishing Rick Rude and Perfect, I mean, they...
Right.
Both came from Minnesota and stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, they could go that route. They could go with Flair. They could go with Steamboat, or even Vader.
I was going to say Steamboat.
Because he feuded them
in
WCW.
Well, I don't think Vader's doing anything.
Probably not, but it'd be nice to see him one last time, in all fairness. So, that's sad to say, but, I mean, it's true. Wouldn't you like to see him one last time?
Oh, yeah. If he could do it, I'd be okay with it. As long as he at the end... Gave me that sweet, sweet, I am a piece of shit. Big piece of shit. Sorry, I almost fucked that up.
Well, actually, I think I found this while I was, searching for investigative news. I think Steamboat has actually been tapped to induct Ravishing Rick Rude.
Which I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Him and Rick Rude, I believe it's him and Rick Rude. I saw a WCW, I don't know if it was a pay-per-view or just like a something else, like a Clash of the Champions. I believe it's him and Rick Rude had a 30-minute Iron Man match, and That was like the first Iron Man match I'd ever seen. And they did it right. Like, they didn't bore the piss out of me. They had Rick Rude get DQ'd twice. He beat the shit out of, I think it was Ricky Steamboat, and then he immediately got those pinfalls back, and he went up 3-2. Like, everything was on him. He got the two DQs, but then he got three quick pinfalls. I was like, that's awesome. Like, it was a great strategy
that's
at
smart,
the time.
Right, yeah.
He was really good, and that's a gimmick I would love to see make a comeback at some point.
They've tried. They've tried to make that the gimmick come back, and some people have sort of worked it in their own fashions. But
Ravage, Val Venus was the closest.
Yes, I was going to say, Val is probably the closest. But he did it so well. Another person to be actually kind of good at it is, who's doing it over on, well, he was doing it over on Lucha Underground, Morrison there, Doc, you know, Johnny Abs.
Because he had the abs,
yes,
right.
Yes, exactly. So he did it. He did it decently, too. But, like, Ravishing Rick Rude, he's a one-of-the-kind wrestler.
He had Jake the Snake Roberts' wife, her picture on his tights.
Yes.
That's how awesome he was.
It was a good time. So that's my man crush. I think that was totally deserved because, you know, frankly, he's awesome. All right, Kent. I know you kind of already ground your gears a little bit in that question to Carrie, but there's got to be a segment part to this. What's grinding your gears?
Ice cream. I don't give a fuck about it. Stop. Stop with this bullshit. Stop with your stupid bike, your stupid umbrella, your fucking licking or kissing the freezer thing. Stop it, New Day. This is... how many more weeks we got this? Do we got three more? Four more? Three more Raws?
Three more Raws, I do believe.
Oh, for fuck's sakes, man. Like... And you know they're going to do something really corny, and it's going to be bad. Like, I'm not looking forward to New Day hosting WrestleMania. At first, I could have been talked into it, but now they just keep going on and on and on. Who cares? Who really gives a fuck about ice cream? Like, they're not bringing back the cool superstars bars that CM Punk wanted. So what's the point? There's zero point, and, like, that's their whole shtick right now. If your whole shtick is ice cream, there's a shark, and you have jumped over it.
Several times.
Like, hell, their intro is not going to be longest reigning tag team champions. It's going to be three black guys that brought WWE ice cream.
Because New.
Right.
Dave Rock.
So disappointed because... They should be in a match.
They should
like,
be.
Like, all three of those guys are super fucking talented, super good, and they're hosting. You know what, who could have hosted it? A part-timer. And it wouldn't have ruined anything.
It's true.
Ric Flair could have hosted it. Would anybody have been opposed to drunk Ric Flair hosting a WrestleMania?
Absolutely not.
Maybe he could perform like Lemmy did the one year?
Yeah.
See, I just solved all issues.
It's true, he did die. You're right. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's what really grinds my fucking gears this week.
All right. I'm with you on that one. It's a little bit annoying that Big E, Kofi, and Xavier have nothing going on. Now, I'm hoping maybe they'll interject something so they get a match, but whatever.
Like I can see that. Props, though. I got to give them props for one thing. Those guys, when they're given something... They go balls out 100%.
Yep, and they turn...
No matter how bad it is.
Yep, and they turn it into something that's, oh, for the most part, good. Time travel thing was... they couldn't turn that one into something.
Yeah, that was almost as bad as old day.
Do you wonder if WWE actually just goes, let's give them the worst gimmick and let them try to see if they can make it work?
Yeah, Vince Price sitting backstage with his pants off and just laughing. I say pants off because it's cooler. Not right. For any other reason. I'm just saying that a lot of people sit behind a desk with their pants off. This is a known thing.
All right. Let's get to the namesake segment. Were we not Kentertained? Now, this one, I'm not so sure we're going to have too many disagreements on. But, as again, we just go really quickly. We choose one segment to happen this week, and we ask ourselves, were we not Kentertained? And we give our reasons. So, this week's is the AJ Styles versus Randy Orton segment. basically the match. We'll go from there, the whole thing. We want to know, were you not entertained? So, Carrie, as always, we like to do to lead us off. Were you not entertained?
I was entertained. It was a good match. And everything, so yeah, it was good.
Okay.
I thought the match in and of itself was okay, but here's a problem. For a match of that quality, being the first time we're ever seeing Randy versus AJ, A, hold that shit off for pay-per-view. B, have that shit at a fucking pay-per-view, and actually have it mean something, not some bullshit match where you're interrupted with commercials. I can't stand watching a match that's interrupted by a commercial. It really ruins the flow.
It does.
To what was I can't say a great match, but it was a very good match. And they tacked this horrible storyline on. I think that's what bothers me more. I would have actually just enjoyed that match for no reason other than two guys just want to fight. I would have gotten behind that match way more than all this bullshit stuff and then AJ going backstage. Which was forced, but we did see Jamie Noble, yes, and Road Dogg. And I don't know what the hell Shane threw, but I was like, man, he just threw something at something that had to be really expensive.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's fake,
all that
though.
Equipment had to be expensive.
I'm pretty sure most of that equipment's fake. I don't know if WWE's willing to throw away all that money.
Russ, they've had cars just get crumpled up for no reason other than, I'm Stone Cold, I want to drive a fucking monster truck.
That's true. I have to say I was entertained, but I do see where Kent's coming from with it. The match was good. I would go above borderline good, borderline great. No, not great. Let me rephrase that. It's above
it was very good.
Yes, it was very good.
Yeah.
You're right. The commercials hurt. It always hurts. But I've been watching television live for so long lately that it doesn't bother me. I just kind of ignore the commercials. I just really liked, one part I really liked was at the end when AJ faked the phenomenal elbow. I think it was a phenomenal elbow. It could have been.
No, he was going for the springboard.
Was he going for the springboard?
Okay. Or not the flippity fuck.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one he was going for at that point. But the springboard 480?
450.
450. There you go. Okay, yeah, that doesn't seem right. 450. The springboard 450. But he pulled it back. That's something we don't see that often. It's just smart. That's another positive towards AJ is, I know AJ probably didn't come up with it on his own, but that's just smart. It shows that he knows Randy Orton's going to try to go for an RKO out of nowhere, and he did. At a pay-per-view, that would have been a monumental moment. And really done things. Free TV, it was still great. It was fun to watch, but it kind of was lost because almost 5 seconds later, Randy got it anyway. So
we didn't get to live in that moment. And that moment was awesome.
It was.
They rushed the ending. Like, yeah. I wish they would have given us 3 minutes to soak in that move before they hit the
ending. It was brilliant. It's not something you see that often, and it was just brilliant. So yeah, you're right. It just felt a little bit lost because right after that, Randy still got it in. So okay, fine. And I don't know. It's so, this Shane McMahon AJ Styles match is so forced. It's really getting to a point where it's annoying because, okay, I understand why they had Shane come out and say, oh, I support AJ. I think he should get the match. They're trying to make him look like the face. They're giving him the face option because it doesn't make sense for AJ to go after him. So I get that, but it's so bad. Like, if AJ were smart, he wouldn't go after Shane. He knows Shane agrees with him. He'd be going after Daniel. So
yeah, wasn't that weird how they had Daniel side with, like, I thought they would have reversed and had Daniel side with AJ.
That would be logical, and that would start the feud to make sense. Problem is, that would also make Shane look like an asshole.
Okay, and his last name's McMahon.
You're right. I am not disagreeing with you. They want Shane to be the face. It's clear that that's what they want. There's no other reasoning behind Shane saying, I want AJ to have the match. Because then it's
fair
just
enough.
Stupid as hell if there was no reason for that. But the problem is, it doesn't matter. They don't need face heel for this. Everyone's going to Everyone cheers for AJ no matter what the hell he does.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how that crowd's going to be for that match, because Shane is still incredibly popular, but AJ's incredibly popular. Do you think it's going to be a split, or do you think more Shane, more AJ?
I think it's going to be split down the middle. There's going to be a lot of, let's go AJ, let's go Shane. I think it's going to be split. I think the crowd's going to be amped for it, though. I really do. So, and AJ, no matter what he's in, he'll always make a great match, so I am looking forward to it. So, all right. Quick announcements. Next week, we do not have the Miss Carrie Blowers with us. So there will be no doctors on board, but there may be a psychic coming in to take her place.
Are you predicting that, or are you telling us that?
I'm predicting it to pretend I'm a psychic.
Holy shit, we're getting predictions a week ahead?
That's right. Let's see if it's true.
Wow, we're doing better advertising than Rod did.
That's right. We're at least telling you half the matches are happening beforehand. So that could be interesting. But it will be Kent and I and this mystery psychic, possibly. So we look forward to that. You know, we are forgetting our favorite thing to do at the end, but I don't know if we prepared the person.
I'm good.
You can go?
Yeah.
All right. Any other special announcements going on this week, guys?
No, I'm slacking on every extracurricular thing that I have going on for the website right now. Because I just got an Xbox One, and that's more fun than doing stuff for no money.
Yeah, well, next week, well, this week, you know, we should really be focusing on wrestling. This is the wrestling big time of year, so. Yeah, I know. We're all so excited about it. All right, so. At the end of each show, we like to do Guess the Wrestler. At this point, if you don't know what it is, too effing bad. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you. So one of us chooses a wrestler. The other two have to try to guess who that wrestler is. Kent, you have a wrestler?
I certainly do.
All right. So, Carrie, ladies first?
Male or female?
Male.
Okay. So it's not anything for International Women's Day. Is this a current wrestler, or are they from the past?
They are currently not active.
Way to go with that one. I like how you kind of swerved that one around. Currently not active. Okay.
What era are they from?
Hang on 1 second. Let's see. We will say from about 2010 to about 2015, 2016.
Ooh. That's a short-lived career. Predominantly, okay, so from that time frame, predominantly WWE?
Yes.
That was my question.
What belts have they held?
Handsome question. What belts have they held? Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. Intercontinental Championship. That's the only belt that he has held. I wasn't sure if there was like a tag team run because, you know, they used to give those away like candy.
Oh, yeah. 2010 to 2015. Oh, man. My God. He's only held one belt. Is there someone he feuded with that was like his. Go like a big feud for this person.
Technically, I would say yes. I would say that we would consider that to have been a big feud. It wasn't like WrestleMania main event huge, though.
Okay, but he did have somebody.
He did have a very, yeah, he did have a predominant storyline at one point or another.
Okay.
Three more questions. Now, Russ, I don't think it's fair that you're looking up Intercontinental Champions right now. I think you should stop that.
How can you see it?
I can see you typing, and the only thing that you'd possibly be typing is Intercontinental Champions and try to whittle it down. Well, and I see your eyes moving like you're Carrie trying to answer a question spontaneously.
Well, I am cheating. It's true. It's damn true. But I had an idea who it was, and I'm just curious to see if it was the person I think it is. I might be. I don't know. All right, Carrie, what's your question?
Has he ever been in a tag team?
A formal tag team? Like, he's been in tag team matches, but not, like, he wasn't a member of the Rockers. He wasn't, you know, the Revival. He wasn't in, like, a tag team that would have a name. He was mainly a singles wrestler.
Okay.
I think every singles wrestler has been in tag team matches, though.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that doesn't really...
But, yeah.
All right, I think I know who it is. I'm just trying to see if I can get a question to narrow it down. Did he have a nickname he went by?
Yes. Okay.
Was he part of any faction that we would know of?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, now you got me down to two people. Shoot. All right, Carrie, do you want me to go or do you want to go?
Go ahead. I'm still thinking.
Okay, I got two. I'll ask the second one because I'm going to go stick with my original. I want to say Ryback.
Nope.
Damn. All right, I'll say my second one later after Carrie goes.
I really have no clue.
I've got a clue.
A raging one. Raging.
Barrett?
Yes.
That was my other one. Damn it, I should have gone with it. I was going to say Barrett.
Ed, you asked if it was a multiple... Because he held the IC title 5 times.
Yeah, several times, yeah.
And he was in League of Nations and Nexus.
Well, that's why...
I really wanted to hesitate on that answer.
When you hesitated on it, well, that's good for you, because it stopped me from going to him.
Well, yeah. Because, I didn't want to go obvious.
Yeah, because I was going Ryback, but then you mentioned the faction. I was like, ooh, that could be Barrett. And...
And, like, he had that feud with Cena that he got buried in, but it was a high-profile one.
It was a good one. It was a good one, yeah. And it's funny because I was going to – if Carrie didn't – like, was still stopped, I was going to say perhaps you have some bad news for Kent.
Yeah, I thought the nickname was going to give it away, in all honesty.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering – well, that's why I kind of narrowed it down to the big guy. That's why I was like, okay, big guy, but then when you brought up – possibly being, if you had honestly said yes, he was a part of it, I would have gone Ryback, or not Ryback, I would have gone Bad News Barrett, because he's got Bad News, he's got the factions, yeah. It would have been all together. Ryback never
had a faction. Did either of you read my 5-page essay?
I've only read the first page.
I did.
Well,
it was Metro reading for me.
And what was in the very first sentence of that? As I planted the seed for you guys.
Yep. That made me think of it, actually.
See, I was wondering if you're... Ah, I should have thought of that. Oh, well, we still got
it. I plant seeds all the time for you guys.
You do. You do. You do. All right. It has been going... We're all close to almost 2 hours here, and we know that that's time for us to shut the hell up. So, it is time to wrap this thing up. For Carrie and Kent, we hope that you were indeed entertained by this horrifically great podcast that we give you guys. Carrie, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Maybe. If we don't destroy the show by then.
Oh, I'm sure you guys will be fine.
You say that.
Say that. But... All right. For everyone else, we will see you
For everyone else, it's just me. You fuck.
For Kent and I, we'll see you next week, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Night, y'all.
Fucking A-Rust.